the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, amen, will be our strength. Praise God. So that means that, you know, we're called not to be thermometers. Thermometers go up and down with the temperatures. We're called to be thermostats. Because the thermostat, this whole room here is controlled by a little box back there in the back. I mean the temperature. If it gets cold, that thing right there, it sets what the temperature is going to be. It controls it. And it's the same way with us. Everything that's going on around us, everything that's happening to us, or everything that's coming against us, if we want to be like a thermometer, we'll just rise up and down. When we're up, we're up. When we're down, and be this roller coaster ride. But I remember Tony Cook at school saying, that's not what God's designed us and called us to be. He's called us to be a thermostat. We're from the inside. That still small voice, the Spirit of God on the inside of us, that strength that's on the inside of us, that it maintains, even in the midst of everything that's coming along, even in the midst of all the hurt and the heartache and all those things that the world has to offer, even in the midst of all that, His joy and His peace and His hope can maintain us at that level. And we don't have to go up and down with the world. Can you say amen? So we want to open up our entire life to Him. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your word, that it, God, is alive. It is powerful. It is anointed. Father, as we speak Your word and hear Your word and read Your word, God, I thank You that it proceeds from Your mouth into our lives. And that, Father God, we live not by what we eat physically, but, Father God, by what comes from Your mouth. Father, we're the just, and the just shall live by faith. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank You this morning that You will fulfill in our life, in each one of our lives, that as we hear the word, You'll reveal it to us and unlock it, and You'll sow it into our heart, so that that word, the word of God, the seed of God, can produce after its own kind. Father, I thank You this morning for Your word. If you believe that today, just say amen. Amen. We've been talking about how they need handouts. I think, does everybody have handouts this morning? Anybody need them? There's some right here. If you need a handout, raise your hand. This morning, we're going to look at the Christmas story. We're going to get into some things. I don't know if you remember me mentioning this several weeks back, but the Greek word that we've been looking at, there's the Greek word logos, there's the Greek word, what's the one we're looking at? Rhema. And that word, it's on your hand out there, that word means what? Spoken word. Rhema means spoken word. Logos, you know, the logos bookstores and that type of thing, that means the written word. Rhema means the spoken word. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what? Proceeds from the mouth of God. And the Bible says that, God says in Isaiah chapter 55, He said, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He's saying, the way I live is higher, and the way I think is higher than you. But He never said that we couldn't have His ways, and we couldn't walk in His ways, and we couldn't think His thoughts. In fact, the Word tells us we're supposed to think His thoughts. And by thinking His thoughts, by having His thoughts, we can walk in His ways. But in Isaiah, He's specifically talking about His way and His thoughts being higher concerning His Word. He said, when it comes to my Word, when I speak my Word, when I send my Word forth, He said, I expect it to prosper. I don't expect it to come back to me empty-handed. I don't expect it to come back to me vain. Now think about this. You got to visualize this. What God's saying is that when I speak, I'm sending what I'm saying out to do something. My words go out from my mouth to accomplish what I desire. And to be successful in the purpose for which I sent it. So that's God's ways. That's His thoughts. And I don't know if you remember a couple weeks ago, I made mention that the word rhema is so mistranslated so many times in this Christmas story that this morning I want us to look at some of these words that have been translated into the English. It's not even translated the word word. In fact, one time it's translated the word thing. But it's the word rhema. And we want to unlock this. Because if we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, then we need to understand the incredible miracle of Christmas. Are the kids supposed to go upstairs today? Okay. We want to understand the incredible miracle of Christmas. The Christmas story. Let me see if I can get someone to help me out with the Christmas story. What's the Christmas story? Brother, you guys got ties on, so you got the answer with the tie on. Why when I say you got ties on, do you all look like the person next to you? Anybody, any young person can help me out. What's Christmas all about? Boom, boom, boom. So I told you, the guys with the ties. Jesus? When Jesus was born? They take your answer? There you go. Anybody got anything to add to that? Jesus, when Jesus was born? Jesus' birthday? When Jesus was born? When the Word became flesh? John chapter 1, verse 14. I want us to look at something this morning and see how this incredible event, this incredible life-changing, world-changing, not just world-changing, but universe-changing event of the Son of God becoming the Son of Man. How did this happen? Remember what Mary said? How can this be? That's how she answered the angel. How can this be? How is this going to happen? Let's look at some things here this morning. Again, on your hand at the top, proceeds means to go forth, talking about the word of God that proceeds from his mouth. The word rhema there is the spoken word. And we've been talking about how the word of God declares, our God has spoken that we overcome the world, according to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. But look at this in John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was who? Was God. No, I'm sorry. The Word was with God, and the Word was who? Was God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? So what is the Word, according to that? It's God. So from God's standpoint, his word is him. When he speaks his word, that's like him going, proceeding. Now think about it. This is what's so incredible. This is, and we will see that we are supposed to function the same way. That when we speak the word, if we do it naturally, to someone that is under us, like the centurion said, we speak the word naturally to someone, what do? They do what we speak. If we speak the word naturally to somebody that works with us or for us or whatever, what do? They do what we speak. We have to take that natural understanding over into the realm of the Spirit and understand that we've been given authority. And as ones who have authority, there is a way for us to change and to have an effect on the area that we have authority over. And the way that happens is we speak. The centurion said, just speak a what? Word. And so we know, according to the Word of God in Hebrews, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that what we see was created by something that's unseen. We live in the seen realm, but our real being is of the unseen realm. Come on, Paul said, I will leave this body. And when I leave what you see, this body, I'll be present with the Lord. Peter said, I'm going to depart this tent. And after my departure, I want to make sure that I can continually remind you of the things I taught you. After my departure. I mean, when you leave, you leave. What Peter's saying is, I live in this body and I will leave it someday. Paul said, when I leave this body, I'll be present with the Lord. So we're spirit, living in a physical body, a natural body, that also has a soul. And we need to understand that in the spiritual realm, authority is released by something being spoken the same way it's released now in the natural. Let me ask you a question. You have somebody that works with you, works for you, if you're a business owner, works with you and works for you, and you want them to do something, do you just like look at them? No. Do the Jedi mind thing? And they look at you like, and go do it? No, you have to say something, right? It's the same way in the realm of the spirit. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. We talked about this Wednesday night, and we've not even got to point one yet. We talked about this Wednesday night. But you know, when Jesus was in the garden, and Peter said, man, I'm going to help Jesus out. And he pulled the knife out, and he... Good thing the Bible says he didn't try to cut the guy's head off, because all he got was his ear. And Jesus said, oh my goodness, that's not good. He couldn't even get his ear. No, Jesus, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, Peter, put the sword up. Those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Now, I'm here to tell you that what I see happening there is Peter is wanting to revert and live according to what he sees, natural. Because then the next thing out of Jesus' mouth is, Peter, don't you understand? Is all you see is those that came out here? He said, right now I could call to my Heavenly Father. I call my Heavenly Father, and He would deliver me with 12 legions of angels. See, Peter was caught up in the natural. Jesus said, there's more to the natural. If you're going to live by the natural, you'll die by the natural. But notice what he said. I could call, and He would deliver me. But Jesus never did call. In fact, what does the Bible say? It says He opened not His mouth. And the only things that He said was when He said, are you the son of God? The ruler said, don't you know that I could set you free or I could have your life taken? And Jesus said, no authority has been given to you except which comes from heaven up. And he said, are you the son of God? And Jesus said this. He said, it's as you say. He didn't say it. He said, it's as you say. And then what did He say? He said, I'm telling you, you're going to see the Son of Man coming at the right hand of power. What He spoke was what happened future. But He didn't call upon the legions of angels. Because if He had spoken it out of His mouth, things would have changed. Dave said Wednesday night, it's interesting that when He did say something out of His mouth, He said, I am. He said, who are you looking for? He said, Jesus. He said, I'm He. What happened? They all fell down backwards. And they got up and they didn't get the clue yet. I'm telling you, there's power. There's power in our words. Can you say amen? Yeah. Now let's look at the Christmas story. Let's look at this here in John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. A lot of our Christmas cards will have the word Emmanuel on it. What's that mean? Emmanuel what? God with us. It says that He will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It says, the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. What became flesh? The Word. And in John 1:1, it says, the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, what? God. So what became flesh? God became flesh. Emmanuel, God with us and dwelt among us. Now, there's one word that you probably will not see on any Christmas cards or any Christmas stories. But you have to get a hold of this word in order for you to understand how the Christmas event and this amazing, incredible, cosmic, universe-changing event took place. And it's the word became. The word became flesh. I give you its definition in the Greek. It's genomai. It's how you pronounce it. Genomai. And it means to emerge, to become. I love this, transitioning from one point, realm, or condition to another. So the word genomide, the word didn't come into existence because the word was in the beginning. But the word transitioned from one realm or condition to another. The word became flesh. Because the word was in the beginning, so it didn't come into existence. But what it did in John chapter 1, verse 14, what it did in the Christmas story, it transitioned from one realm and condition to another, and we want to know how. How did the word genomai in the flesh? Number one on your handout this morning, Christmas is when God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. When God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In Luke chapter 1, verse 34, Mary asked a very intelligent question. Remember in Luke, and we'll see this here, we'll get into a little bit here, this the angel Gabriel appears to Mary in the sixth month and says, blessed are you, Mary, that you're favored among women. And begins to declare to Mary, he said, you're going to be with child, and this child is going to be the Son of God, and he's the favor of God is going to be upon his life, and all these things. And Mary asks a very good question. She asks a very good question, an intelligent question. In verse 34, she says, how will this be? Since I am a virgin. How's this going to happen? Gabriel, you said this is going to happen, but how's it going to happen? I don't know, man. How's it going to happen? So we want to see, how did the word genomai into flesh? How did God do something so incredible that God, who is spirit, who is, there's no beginning or end, how did God, who from the beginning was always there, the Word was in the beginning, where the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How did God genomai into the same thing that you and I are? How did he become flesh and make his dwelling among us? In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, let's look at this here, and I mentioned this, but let's read a little bit here. In Luke 1, 26, in the sixth month, God sent. In the sixth month, God did what? God sent. God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man named Joseph, who was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel appeared to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. If you got your Bibles or you're following along on your iPad or iPhone, go to Luke. I couldn't get all the scripture on the handout, otherwise you'd have a book. But let's look at this here. In verse 28, Luke 1:28, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive. Look what he's speaking a word. Now, who sent the angel? God. And the angel's bringing God's what? God's word. Now, we're going to find out what God's word is. He says, behold, here's God's word. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary had a very intelligent question to the angel. How can this be? Since I do not know a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your what? Word. According to your rhema." Now, where did the rhema originate from? Where did the rhema come from? Who sent this angel? God sent this angel. Gabriel. And Gabriel was sent by God with a spoken word. And that spoken word was that you will conceive and be with child. And Mary said, hey, how can this be? And the angel answered her and said, your relative Elizabeth, who's been barren, who said that she can't have no children. In fact, she's past childbearing age. She's old age. She is now in her sixth month. Because with God, all things are possible. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And then Mary said, be it done unto me according to your what? Your rhema, according to your spoken word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, we're going to see this, this incredible Christmas story that we're getting ready to celebrate. It is birthed into the universe because God spoke a word. God spoke a word to a woman who received that word and said, "Be it done unto me according to what God has said." So number two on your handout, God sent his spoken word to Mary. Now remember, when God sends his word, what does God expect? Because his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What does God expect? When he sends his word, what does he expect? He expects his word to come back, not empty, not void, but accomplishing what he sent it to do. Come on, right? So when God sent his word to Mary, he's expecting it to do exactly what he said that the word would do. He said, "You're going to conceive and you're going to be with child, and this child's going to be the Son of God." Verse 39. Now Mary arose. So Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now she gets up in haste after she receives this word and she goes to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth is the one that has now been 6 months pregnant. And who's she pregnant with? John the Baptist. Right? And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped, John leaped in my womb for joy." Verse 45, "Blessed is she." Get this. "Blessed is she," he's talking to me, "who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." On your handout, I give you another translation in verse 45. It's under number 4, okay? Luke 1:44, "For as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the babe in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord's word to her will be what? Fulfilled. Now remember, what did Mary say? Mary said, "Be it done unto me according to your word." Here Elizabeth said, "You believed the word that came to you. You believed the word that came to you." Now, under number 3 here, I want to show you something here, and we'll get to number 4. And then we've already talked about Isaiah chapter 55, so we don't need to read it. But he says his ways are higher than my ways and thoughts higher than our thoughts. And so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now look at Luke chapter 1, verse 37. I want you to see this. We read this already. And it says, For with God, nothing will be impossible. For with God, nothing is impossible. For nothing is impossible with God. Now, in that scripture, the word rhema appears. But we do not translate it correctly in most of the Bibles. Does anybody have the NIV? Does anybody have the NIV, the Bible, this morning? No one has the New International Version? Okay. You have it? What does the NIV say? I'm trying to remember, last time I read it, what it says. Verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. He just found it. For what's it say?
For no word from God will ever fail.
For no word, get a hold of this. For no word from God will ever fail. Now, we quote this all the time. Nothing's impossible to God. Nothing's impossible to God. But do you know that in that passage, the word rhema appears? And the word rhema is the word that we've translated nothing. This is amazing. Because what, notice, the word rhema better fits in verse 37 when we have the understanding, when we look at verse 38. Because Mary says, be it done unto me according to your word. And it makes more sense that Mary would be responding to the angel saying that the word that God has spoken is possible. Elizabeth is pregnant, who has said that has been barren. But the word that God has spoken to you is possible. Because no word that God ever speaks will come back to him empty. And then Mary answered and responded to the angel, let it be done unto me according to your word. That's incredible. Folks, because there's millions of people that got trees up in their house with lights on them and gifts going underneath with a nativity scene somewhere in their house because a woman had an angel come to her sent by God with a rhema. And that woman said, how's that going to happen? And the angel said, no rhema from God ever goes back to him void. And she says, okay, then be it done unto me according to that rhema. And it changed the universe and the world for eternity. Come on, can you say amen? Now you're going to see this so clear. How did Elizabeth become pregnant? Now, it wasn't by the Holy Spirit, it was by her husband Zacharias. Okay, enough said. But they had tried and tried, and she could not have children. And it says in Luke chapter 1, I tell you what, right now, I've been devouring Romans, but right now I'm devouring Luke chapter 1, reading it over and over and over. Because just like the angel appeared to Mary, the angel appeared to Zacharias. And we won't read all this morning, but Zacharias, it said about Zacharias, look at this here in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of this division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God. Notice this. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. He says they were righteous and holy. And they still had not received the blessing of a child. I want to tell you something this morning. Tough things, bad things, the enemy tries to attack you. And just because something bad happens in your life does not mean that you're not good. Bad things happen to good people all the time. We have an enemy seeking whom we devour. And that's what's crazy. He attacks us, and then he tries to get us to believe that you deserve the attack. But notice about Zacharias and Elizabeth. It says they were righteous, they were blameless concerning the ordinances of God, but they still, verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense. Then he went to the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is what? Heard. You got to get it. Your what was heard? Your prayer. Your word was heard. When Daniel set his face to seek God, and it was with, he didn't hear anything for 21 days, the Bible says. But then on the 21st day, an angel appeared to him. And the angel said to him, he said, Daniel, since the time that you set your face for understanding, your word was heard, and I am here because of your word. But the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. Then he talks about the battle. He said, the prince of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now, this is a spirit being. This is an angel. This ain't some natural military man. This is an angel. And he says, the evil spirit of Persia withstood me 21 days. And it wasn't until Gabriel came. There's a battle going on that we're engaged in, folks, and we got to get in the battle. And we got to understand that the words that proceed out of our mouth is the sword of the Spirit. And the Bible says that we will be judged not for every word that comes out of our mouth, but we looked at this Wednesday night, but for every what? Idle word that comes out of our mouth. I used to read that, oh, man, I'm going to be judged for every word that comes out of my mouth. My goodness, every bad word I've said, that's going to be a long list, y'all. Hopefully you're not behind me at the gate. Not like recently. Right? Come on now. Y'all have to be like, Pastor, you cuss all the time like a sailor? No. But I grew up, right? Come on now. But it's not every word. It's every idle word. It's every idle word. You know what the word idle means there? It means empty. Do you know why God puts such an emphasis on word? Our words that come out of our mouth is because they're like our nuclear weapon. There's such a value to them. God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. See, we just think, oh, yada, 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 yada. Words are just words. How's it go? Sticks and stones may break my bones, or words will what? Yada, yada, yada. No, no, no. The Bible says life and death is in the power of your tongue. And those who find it eat its fruit thereof. So an angel appeared to Zacharias and said, Zacharias, hey man, you're going to have a child. Your wife's going to have a child. And verse 17. Well, it says, Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, verse 14, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom, disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? Just like Mary had a question. How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Now, what was Mary's question? What'd she say? How shall this what? How shall this be? Do you know what word that is? How shall this genomai? How shall this become? How shall this happen? Because I don't know man. Zacharias' question is different. He says, how will I become fully convinced? How can you convince me that this will happen? How will I know? When you looked at it in the Greek, it means, how will I be convinced? How are you going to convince me that this is going to happen? Mary didn't say, how am I going to be convinced? Mary said, how will this be? Because see, faith is not of our natural ability to understand. Faith is our spiritual ability to believe in something that we do not see. And our faith is birthed from God through His Word. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is what overcomes the world, even our faith. Born again, not of corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed, which is what? The Word of God. Now, we'll see. The angel answers Zacharias. And the angel answered in verse 19 and said to him, I'm Gabriel. So the same angel, right? who stands in the presence of God. I'm not just a regular angel, bro. And notice what it says. And was sent to speak. Notice what he says. I was sent with a rhema to you and to bring you these glad tidings. And behold, you will be mute, not be able to speak, until the day these things take place, because you did not, what's it say? Believe my rhema, which will be fulfilled in their own time. What's the difference between Mary and Zacharias? Elizabeth said, you believe the spoken word. The angel said, Zacharias, you didn't believe. Now, just to get the hint, he said, is he punishing him to not let him talk? To not let him communicate? No, he's protecting his rhema. He's protecting his rhema because he knows that every tongue that rises up against him can have an effect. It doesn't mean that let me just say this. It doesn't mean that Zacharias couldn't communicate anymore. Because after this, he has a child. There's some communication going on in that situation, right? In fact, when John's born, he still can't speak. So we have this thought that no one knows what took place with Zacharias until John's born, but that's not necessarily true because when he's born, Elizabeth says his name will be called John. And like, what? There's no one in your family that's called John. No. And so they look to Zacharias, the father, and it says they bring him writing utensils. Zacharias, your wife, says his name's John. No one in your household's named John. Shouldn't he be named after you? Let us know. And so evidently he was able to communicate by writing. Because he communicates by writing, he says, no, his name will be called John. And the Bible says that as soon as he wrote that and they read that he began to speak and praise God. Now tell me. See, you say, well, why was he not allowed to talk? It's not that he wasn't allowed to communicate. He wasn't allowed to talk. Because life and death are contained in what we say. And the angel identified where Zacharias was. He said, you don't believe the rhema. What's going to come out of your mouth isn't going to be faith. It's going to be what? Unbelief. And you're not going to be able to speak until the words that I've spoken to you are fulfilled in their time. Every idle word. Why is there such an emphasis on it? Because there's such incredible power. You all want the person that's over our nuclear weapons carrying that case around, you want them all to be flipping with that little switch? No, because there's incredible power. And the same thing is with our words. So Zacharias couldn't speak until that day. What's the word we're looking at? The word genemai. What's it mean? To become. What else does it mean? Look at your hand out there again. What else does it mean? It means to go from one, what's it say? One point or condition to what? Another. To go from one point or condition to another. Now let's look at this real quicker this morning and wrap this up. You have to see this. Have I given you three, four? Okay, number three, because in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, because no spoken word shall be impossible with God. That right there is powerful. I believe the angel dropped the mic after he said that. Because no spoken word will be impossible with God. And then Mary's response was, that word there is the word rhema. Mary's response was, be it done according to your rhema. Number four, Mary received and believed the spoken word. Number five, God sent his spoken word to Zacharias. Just like Mary. Same angel. Zacharias received but did not believe the spoken word from God. Now again, Luke chapter 1, verse 14, the word became, it's the word genai, means to merge, to become, transitioning from one point, realm, condition to another. Look at this, I'm going to show you where this word appears some more in the New Testament. Matthew 8, verse 10, now, anybody remember the story about the centurion? We talked about it last week, right? The centurion was a Roman soldier, and he had people underneath him, right? At least 100 men underneath him, and he had a servant that was close to him that was sick to the point of death. And he was friends to the Jewish people. In fact, he had helped build a synagogue. And so he went to the Jewish people that he knew, and he said, "Hey, can you go ask Jesus, who's Jewish, who's a Jew, ask him if he will come and do something about my servant?" And the Jewish leaders go, and they tell Jesus, "So this is a great guy. This guy's awesome. He helped build a synagogue. Will you come?" And as they're coming, then he knows that they're coming. He sends others out to meet Jesus, and he sends them out with a word. He sends them out with a word. As far as we know, Jesus never actually saw the centurion. He sends them out with a word. And the word is, "I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I'm not worthy for you to come to the house. But only what? Speak a word. Only say a word, and my servant will be what? Healed. For I'm a man. I also am a man under authority, having authority." Because anytime you're under authority and you have others, you have authority. He said, "I'm under authority, having authority. And I say to this one, go, and he won't, goes. And this one, come, and he comes. I say to this one, do it, and he doesn't." And Jesus is amazed. The Greek word, the word says Jesus is amazed. It says he marveled. He's like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." And he stops and he turns around to all those who were with him. Now, who's with him? John, the beloved disciple, who he's going to put and trust his mother to. Peter, the rock. And he turns around and looks at those guys and says, "Man, I'm telling you what, I've not found this type of faith. No, not in anyone in Israel." Faith. Faith. What did the centurion say? Only speak a word. And then he explained, "Because I'm also a man of authority, under authority, and I say this one go, and he goes to the coming." So what he's saying, Jesus, all you got to do is say the word. And Jesus said, that's faith. Mary received the rhema. Mary received the rhema, and she believed the rhema. She released the rhema by speaking it, and Jesus, the word became flesh. And we celebrate on December 25th. But look at this here, Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. He marveled and said to those who followed, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." Look at verse 13. And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed in that hour. The word "let it be done" is the word genomai. What is the word genomai again? It means to become. It means to go from one condition or place to another. So Jesus said, because of your faith. And what was his faith? Only speak a word. He said, because of what you believe, it will be done unto you according, it will genomai according to your faith and according to what you've spoken. And what was that was going to happen? His servant was in the condition of sickness, illness, disease, death. And they genomied according to what he believed, according to the spoken word. They genomied to health, healing, and wholeness. The lost, those who are lost and don't have Christ in life and hear that message and receive that message and believe in their heart and confess with their mouth, they genomize from that state of darkness, into his marvelous light. Because of a rhema, they receive the word, they believe the word, they speak the word, and they genomize. They go from one condition to another. Jesus lived this and taught us. Number 7, on the spoken word became for the centurion as he believed. The spoken word became. That's the word genomai there. Look at this in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. We're going to wrap up here. Jesus said, this is about the fig tree. Remember, Peter said, look, the fig tree. And he said, Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say to you, that whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatever he saith. The word genomai is in Mark chapter 11. It's the word shall come to pass. Jesus said, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall become, shall come into being, shall transition from one point to around to another. He shall have what? Whatsoever he saith. Jesus lived and taught Isaiah chapter 55. Jesus lived it and he taught it. He said, if you will speak, number 8, Jesus lived and taught us that our spoken word we believed would become. The spoken word that we believe will become. That's what he said in Mark chapter 11. Real quick in closing. The bottom of your sheet. Mary received the word. Mary believed the word. Mary kept the word. And Mary released the word when she said, be it done unto me according to your word. She spoke it. And finally, because of that, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The universe was changed. The Christmas story is truly about not only God loving the world so much that he gave his only begotten son, not only about the birth of Jesus, but it's Isaiah chapter 55 and its fulfillment. God spoke a word into the life of Mary. Mary believed that word, received that word, kept that word, released that word, and the word became flesh. Can you say amen? Now here was what incredible. Here's what's incredible. You need to change it in Luke chapter 1, verse 37. You need to change it. It's not nothing is impossible with God. It's no spoken word, no rhema is impossible with God. So whatever God's word says, it can come to pass. Can you say amen? Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. God, it's powerful. It's anointed. We thank you for this time together. God, we thank you for this time of the year. Father, when you did something so incredible and so amazing, you, God, Jesus, became flesh. What an incredible miracle. God, your word can continue to become flesh in our life. Your spoken word. All we have to do is receive it, keep it, believe it, and release it. And now, Father, as we get ready to leave this place, Father, I thank you that you do not stay in this building. God, you live in a temple that was not created with man's hands. You live on the inside of each one and every one of us. So, Father, as we leave, I thank you that your Spirit will continue to speak to us, continue to cause this word to roll over on the inside of us. Holy Spirit, continue to reveal this truth to us and help us guard it and protect it so that we can bring forth the fruit of it in each and every one of our lives. We ask that this morning in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, then say amen, amen, amen. Stand up with me this morning, amen. God bless you guys. I appreciate your attentiveness. The Christmas story is about God speaking and it becoming. Amen. We can do the same thing, amen. God bless you. We just thank you, Father, for your favor upon our life. We're dismissed. Love each and every one of you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, amen.